Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, my dear sister. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you so much for the hunger you stirred in our hearts for more of you. We thank you so much for allowing us to answer the call to partner with you so that your will be manifested in our generation on earth as it is in heaven. Father, thank you for the responsibility you placed in our heart to seek you for the destiny of your church and this nation. Father, thank you for your sons and daughters on this line. You are a God of covenant, and your word will never change. And you are a rewarder of those who diligently seek you. Father, remember these vessels. Remember these sons and daughters who have waited upon you day and night. Father, thank you. Thank you for their families. Thank you, for God, for their marriages. Thank you for their children. Thank you for their jobs. Thank you for their ministries. Thank you for their churches. Father, thank you for their cities. And again, we give you glory for planting us in this nation for such a time as this. We ask, O God, Holy Spirit, that you will establish that which you require of us tonight so that we can unite together on this altar as we seek your face in this season. And may Jesus, our Lord and Savior alone, always receive the glory. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you so much for your prayers. Thank you for just who you are. God really is very, very pleased that this altar has been raised up and really carries a sweet aroma before him because of his sacrifice. This past few weeks, we've been looking at another effective way, strategically effective way of spiritual warfare that was not very clear to me before. Now that I'm understanding, it's a mighty weapon. And then we've been looking at it from different dimension, from the place of repentance, from the place of the blood. But we've not really gotten, covered everything about it, but we're gonna do that as time proceeds. But tonight, part of the reason why the Lord was preparing our hearts with this weapon, with this season of prayer, is because of the time we're about to go into. It's because of this season we're about to go into. I've been pointing to this. So I'm going to share briefly with you tonight about this particular season we're going into and what I really feel God is calling us to partner with him into this season for the sake of your family, yourself, and this nation. So I want to share a little bit about this season, and then we'll look at how to partner with God and really receive breakthrough. I promise you, by the grace of God, this will be a turning point in every one of our lives. We will all have an encounter with the Lord. So let's see how to understand this season so our hearts can be prepared for it. I want to begin by reading this very familiar scripture in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. It says, to everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. To everything, there is a season and a time that God has set for every purpose under heaven. If he says just every purpose under the earth, we know it's limited to earthly seasons. But it says to every purpose under heaven. So there is nothing in this world that God does not regulate with seasons. And we're going to see very soon. So here, God showed Solomon some of the seasons. He says, a time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to harvest or to pluck that which is planted, a time yet to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. And just when it goes on and on and on. So basically he's saying our whole life is governed by seasons, because God has defined time with seasons. Time is regulated with seasons, and understanding the seasons will help us be more effective in our time here on earth and even our relation, our spiritual life. So it says, so every purpose under heaven. So there are earthly seasons, or what we call natural seasons, and there are also spiritual seasons. But the seasons we're very used to are mostly natural seasons. But again, everything we see in the natural has a spiritual reflection. It's always pointing to spiritual things. Everything originates from the spiritual realm. The natural is just to give us, is a shadow of what God is trying to get us to see. So here he's talking about seasons to everything and to the time that God has set for us to live here on earth. So I want to read another scripture relating to seasons here. And this one I'm reading from the book of Genesis from the very beginning. In Genesis chapter 8, I'll just read verse 22. God, after smelling the aroma of Noah's sacrifice after the first world was destroyed, here in Genesis 8 verse 22, the Lord said this to Noah. Say, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease, meaning it will not end. As long as this earth remains, God gave Noah his word, a covenant promise that seed time and harvest time will always be there. Summer, winter will never cease. Day and night will never cease. Planting and reaping. So here God again is defining seasons that govern everything. So we see that first, let's look at natural seasons. Natural seasons are divided into the atmospheric season and the physical season. For example, we have the familiar one, which are the four seasons that our people are familiar here in this part of the world. We have the spring, we have the summer, we have the fall, and we have the winter. These seasons, the Bible says, will never cease. You will never, in this part of the world, if you live where these four seasons take place in America, you can't stop the winter from coming. You can't stop the spring from coming. You can't stop the fall from coming. It's a cycle. And these seasons, they define what happens around you in each season. So because these seasons are set, now they govern our attitude in every season. So we have to prepare for it. So when we know that winter is definitely going to come, then we have to prepare for winter. We start buying clothes. If we know that spring will come, we prepare for spring. So that's how it affects us. Then you look at, in some cultures, some areas of the world, they have what they call the rainy season. You know, the rainy season. That, like it says here, you know, in the Bible it talks about the early rain and the latter rain. It says in the book of James that the husbandman, the farmer, waits patiently until he receives the early rain and the latter rain. See, that again governs the lifestyle, the whole business lifestyle of a farmer. A farmer must understand the time to plant, and he must understand that that will produce the season of reaping. If he misses it, then he loses the whole year. So He waits for the early and the latter rain to harvest. So this whole season are governed by the weather. You know, Jesus says, when you see the south wind blowing, you know it's going to be this. If you see the east wind, you know it's going to be this. So this whole seasons, this winter, summer, fall, and all these are governed by the four winds, the four natural winds, meaning the east wind, the south wind, the west wind, and the north wind. They blow, and they will call it the compass. They define these four seasons, and they define the weather. What today we call the weather, the earthly weather. So these seasons, the Bible says, will never cease. And so we prepare for them if we understand them. These seasons define the how we eat our food. You know, the farmers produce the food everybody in the world eats. So the farmer's life is governed by seasons. So our eating life is governed, our productive eating life is governed by food, by the seasons. So everything of our life is governed by seasons. The business world, winter clothes. So basically what I'm trying to say, Solomon was saying in Ecclesiastes, everything we do is governed by seasons and the timing. Now, because time does not wait for man, and the seasons always come and go, so it also governs our life on earth. We can never deny that there's a time to be born. That's a season. Every one of us, we had a time we're born. And there's a time, we cannot deny a time to depart from this world, a time to die. That is in something we can never escape from. So we prepare for it. So we prepare for it so that our transition will be what God desires. So if you look at the seasons, then Solomon went further to define how this general season, the natural season, now affect our natural life. Time to love, time to hate, time to this, time. So everything has season, he says, Solomon said. And everything that has season is governed by time. So now, because we are human, we understand natural seasons. But because we don't understand that natural seasons reflect spiritual seasons, we don't know how to really tap into spiritual seasons. But they exist. So God, all these spiritual seasons, these are all from Genesis to Revelation. But because we don't understand it, like Paul says, there are so many things that were hidden from our understanding until God started revealing these things by His Spirit. And Paul unfolded a lot of them. Now, because these seasons are spiritual seasons, are not understood by natural men, God started now raised up a generation that are called by His name. So the first people that God set aside through the loins of Abraham were the children of Israel, were the Jews. So God made a covenant with them and says, these are my people. I am their God. I'm setting them apart to be a light to the nations, to the rest of the world, that these are my people. So in the natural, God established a covenant with them and established laws with them. So God started introducing them to spiritual seasons. So God, in the book of Leviticus, God started telling Moses, he says, I will read just a few so that we can cover the rest of the things tonight. In Leviticus 23, I will read from verse 3. It says, 6 days thou shalt work. Work shall be done, but on the seventh day shall be a Sabbath of rest. That's how that came about, of course, from Genesis. God rested from all his work on the seventh day. Now we'll go quickly to verse 4. Say, these are the feasts of the Lord, even holy convocations, which you shall proclaim in their seasons. That word seasons there in Hebrew is the word moeb. And if you click the word season there, moeb means appointed times of the Lord. The appointed times of the Lord. So now he says, you shall proclaim them in their seasons, in their moeb, in the appointed times of the Lord. In the 14th day of the first month, at even is the Lord's Passover. And on the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Then verse 7, in the first day you shall have, then God told them what they can do on those days under the Levitical law. Then verse 9, and the Lord spoke unto Moses, speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, when you come into the land which I give unto you, and shall reap the harvest thereof, then you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest, and the priest will wave it for you. That's called the first of the first fruit. It happens on the day after Sabbath, which we call Easter today, Resurrection Sunday. Now, it goes further on the, verse 15. It says, and you shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, from Easter Sunday, from the day after, you shall bring the day you brought the sheaf of the wave offering. Seven Sabbaths shall become complete. Even unto the morrow after the seventh Sabbath shall you number 50. And that's what we call Pentecost. And then if you go further, verse 23, it says, and the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, in the first day of the seventh month, you shall have a Sabbath, a memorial of the blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. He gave that to them. Then verse 26 says, and the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, also on the tenth day of this seventh month, there shall be a day of atonement. It shall be holy convocation unto you. And that's the day of what we call Yom Kippur today. The day of trumpets is called Rosh Hashanah. And then we go to verse 33. Leviticus 23, verse 33. And the Lord said unto Moses, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of this seventh month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days unto the Lord. So here, the world is already been existing with already a calendar. Now God set a people apart, connected to a spiritual, to a God, to the God of Israel, spiritual. And God now started giving them a calendar totally different from the calendar they've known. And that God says, these are my appointed seasons. These are my feast seasons. These are my holy convocations. So these became windows of God's encounter with Israel. And God tells them to come every three times a year to Jerusalem to celebrate this feast. Now, this feast started establishing spiritual significance because the first feast happened when they came out of Egypt. Any other day would have been chosen. That's when God spoke to them. Exodus 12, Exodus 14 says, this month shall be the beginning of months to you. And it's the month called the month Abib or the month Nisan. That is the spiritual calendar month of, or we call it, sacred month of the Lord. So he gave Moses, says, this month you're coming out of Egypt is the beginning of months, the first month. So that means that's God's beginning of month. So then from there they number the months, you know, the spiritual calendar. So they came out of Egypt, and then 50 days after the day after Sabbath was the, that's when the glory of God fell on Mount Sinai. And that time was Pentecost, 50 days. The glory of God fell on Mount Sinai. Why did it not fall on any other day? It fell on Mount Sinai on the 50th day. And then later Moses was asked to build a tabernacle, and the glory of God came upon him, and they called it the tent of God's glory, tabernacle. That God started tabernacle with them, and they continued like that. So God gave them these principles and told them to make it a memorial for their generations to celebrate these days as the feast of the Lord, not the feast of man. So now, if you fast forward to the New Testament, Jesus lived every day enjoying the Lord, growing up in the Lord, enjoying the Lord. He goes to the Sabbath. He was there all the time. But for some reason, when God now started fulfilling the reason for which Jesus came, the reason to for which he came, do you know everything that Jesus did to to finish his assignment on earth, they were all in alignment with his feast days. Jesus became the Passover lamb. He became the first of the first fruit, Resurrection Sunday. He was the first begotten from the dead. You know, unless a corn of wheat dies, he cannot produce fruit. Jesus rose, became the first fruit on Resurrection Day. And then, 50 days from Resurrection Day, we call it Pentecost, God visited the apostles, and today we call it the birth of the church, and so on and so forth. So, these windows of time, things happened on those days. So what happens now is, many times, if you read in Zechariah, the Bible talks about during the millennium, every nation will be required to come to the Feast of Tabernacles. And the nation that doesn't come will suffer some plagues. So this is a millennium. So now, the problem with people harvesting this windows is because in the New Testament, we are not under the law. Now, in the New Testament, Jesus has died for us once and for all. I can pray now and God will forgive me of my sins. I don't need to wait for the Day of Atonement. I don't need to wait for sacrifice for me to go behind the veil. Now we are sons and daughters of God. But still, the question is, if the natural weathers, the summer, winter, and the fall, they still continue from Genesis to now. They have not stopped. If rainy season and dry season, the early rain and the latter rain, has not stopped. And again, in the Old and New Testament, this we are making reference to spiritual rains also. That it will come to us as the early and the latter rain. So they used rain again as a spiritual connotation. So if the rainy seasons have not stopped, their seasons and their timing, and the weather has not stopped, day and night, Jesus, God spoke to Noah. He says, day and night will not cease. From Genesis to now, there's nothing you will do for night not to come. And there's nothing you will do for day not to come. So the whole universe has planned their life in our whole life is regulated by day and night because it's consistent. So none of these seasons have ceased. So now the world operates under what we call the natural season. So, and that natural season in the Greek, the timing for that natural season in the Greek is called Chronos. And the natural season is called Chronos, which is called chronological time. Chronological time means natural time, just like natural rain, natural summer, winter, all the stuff, natural this, natural that. So Chronos means the chronological time of man. So the Romans, after they studied time, they are the ones that finally be able to put the time into January, February, you know, March, that. So that's the time that we now use for the past 2,000 years to govern the existence of man. And everything is planned around January to December, and you start the next year. But now in Exodus, as God started a nation that is a spiritual nation, a nation that had covenant with the heavenlies, God now gave them another time, another season. And in the Bible, the Greek call this, in the Bible, is called Kairos. Kairos, meaning God's appointed time, or what they call opportune time, the proper time, the set time. And in Hebrew, it's called Moed, appointed seasons, God's feast seasons. So, if the word timing is from January to December, which there's nothing wrong with it, that's what we're using, but now God is saying there is another season that is spiritual because he was given spiritually and it's in the Bible. And these seasons are clearly stated here. There are seven of them. Seven of them. And the good thing about this season, they are called harvest season. Harvest season. The time you reap what you've been planting. So in 2006, when God started showing me that, you know, to apart from, I take some time away to consecrate myself, to pray, to seek the Lord. But God started telling me, started showing me this season. You pray every other time, you worship every other time, you enjoy God. Why not start consecrating these seasons as part of your seasons of consecration? And I started doing that, and to my surprise, I found out they are truly windows of encounters with the Lord. It's almost like you are on appointment with God's own timing. So every time is good, but these seasons open a special atmosphere for you. For example, your birthdays. Every day of your life is important. Every day of your life, you are doing everything, but you don't forget your birthday. And God says, these seasons are my seasons, my set seasons. So I found out God meets you at this time when you set it apart to seek the face of the Lord. Amen? Because every other season has not ceased. You know, so, and every time we've consecrated this season, it's amazing what God does. So, if you look in the natural again with the children of Israel, these seasons carry a lot of feast ordinances. The season of the seventh month is called the holiest of all, because in that season is when, in the cycle of the life of Israel, God, during under the Mosaic law, the life of the children of Israel, the seventh month is usually when the trumpet is called on the first day of the seventh month, like I read to you. And when the trumpet sounds on the seventh month, it is not for any other call. It's not for war. It's not for anything. It calls the nation to repentance. And so they come, the whole nation are called to a 10 days of repentance. It's when they begin to confess their sins, repent to their neighbors, begin to search anything. They've cheated somebody, they return it. You know, they go through a time of truly searching their hearts. And then, because they are under the law, at the end of this 10th day, then they sacrifice. The high priest will have to sacrifice an animal to for the animal to carry the sins of the whole Israel confessed on it. So the sins of Israel is put upon this animal, this goat, and then the other one is killed, and the blood atones for the whole nation. So their sins are covered. Now they go into the next year, believing God for rain, for breakthrough, for harvest. Till today, Israel still, some of them still do that, except for the animal sacrifice. So that became the pattern by which God has been with Israel until Jesus came and became not just our Passover lamb, but the atoning blood for us when anything happens. But still, these are windows for us to consecrate seasons of solemn assembly and times of seeking the face of the Lord in a corporate way, in a corporate sense. So, this September, the Hebraic season, seventh season, falls on this September. September, and it begins at the Feast of Trumpets, and that begins on the 10th of September. The 10th of September, that's the Gregorian calendar, or what we call the chronological calendar, is 10th of September. But God's calendar, or the seventh month, begins on the first day of this seventh month begins on the 10th of September. So the 10th of September is the first day of the seventh month, and then on the 19th is Yom Kippur. And that's the 10th day of the seventh month. And then the fifth day after Yom Kippur, the Feast of Tabernacles begins, and that's the 15th day of the seventh month in the sacred calendar for 7 days. So somehow we've always done it every year, and different feasts God will show us, particularly not in a religious way, which feast to fast, which feast to pray into. And it's always brought encounters and favors and breakthroughs. And that's how, you know, even ASLP and different things that God has led giving us opportunity. But this year, the reason why I felt like really bringing your awareness and really calling you to take advantage of this window is a little bit different. Last year, God started showing me, says, take seriously the 70th anniversary of Israel. Israel is a time clock of the world, and whatever happens around Israel has spiritual alignment to it. But you know, so as Israel turns 70, take it seriously. But I didn't know what to do on that on the 70th year. A lot of doors open, but to go to Jerusalem to be with even the president there and so many of their leaders, but we did not go. So we waited here. But now, as I was praying more into it, God says, consecrate the 70th year of Israel, consecrate the seventh month, the feast of the seventh month, and give yourself to fasting. So I knew it was going to be on the 70th month, to really pray into this year to receive breakthrough. You know, so as I was praying more into this, I realized that in the book of Daniel chapter 9, God always does something on the 70th year of the life of the children of Israel. Daniel chapter 9, the children of Israel has been in captivity for 70 years now. And then they were, the Medes and the Persians, that year overthrew Babylon. And in that very year, Darius of the Medes was put in charge of Babylon, and Cyrus was ruling from Persia. So Daniel in prayer said this, Daniel 9:1, in the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seeds of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he will accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer, supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confessions and said, and then it went on and on. When I read this, it just stuck to me. The 70th year of their captivity, the fall of Babylon, God started remembering the Jews in that year. And through the prayers of Daniel, God started bringing them out. You know, things started happening. And then Cyrus made the decree that same year, and the Jews were taken out of captivity and restored. And God started showing me also the 70th year, 70 AD, was also the time that Israel was attacked, that scattered Israel until 1948, when Israel was regarded this time in our generation. And from 1948, that Israel was regarded, since 70 AD, they were scattered. They were scattered in 70 AD. Now they were regarded in 1948. And now this year, Israel is now 70 years. And this number 7 is a number usually for completion of a cycle. And something new beginning begins. Meaning number 7 closes a cycle and opens the door for a new beginning. So the Lord says, consecrate this month, pray. And let the focus of the prayer be on repentance. And as he was showing about repentance, then God started showing me this weapon that I was sharing with you. I never knew the depths of it. This weapon of the power of the blood and the accusation of Satan as Satan's strategy for always dethroning the church or bringing people into captivity. It was very real. And we're just laying the foundation for how to counter Satan's accusation as a strategy. So God started showing, he said, you know what? On this 70th year, what Daniel was doing in Daniel chapter 9, Daniel was like an appeals lawyer pleading Israel's case before the throne of God, and using the 70th year, they've served their sentence. Now, God, you're a God of covenant. Remember your covenant and release your people. Forgive the sins of our generation. And God, remember your covenant, because you're a righteous God. If you read this whole Daniel 9, It's amazing. Is Daniel is like before the courtroom of the Lord. And one man that understood the timing and the season and exactly what God was looking, one man shifted such an atmosphere that released a spiritual movement that caused Cyrus to make a decree for Israel to return to Jerusalem and to recover everything that was taken from them. And that's how. So the Lord started saying in this season, just like Daniel did at the 70th year, he says, call a fast, call a solemn assembly from the Feast of Trumpets. Begin from that 10th day, that first day of the 7th month, and consecrate a fast to the Yom Kippur day. And just be just like Israel. Repent and come before the throne, the courtroom of the Lord. And begin to repent over the sin of the church. Repent over the sin of the nation. Repent over the sins of our forefathers. Over the sin of my father's generation, your father's generation, just like Daniel did. Repent over the sins of our children. He says repentance nullifies the Satan's accusation. And also repentance in this type of season, it causes God, it's almost like he pardons whatever the accusation or whatever the sentence has been. He says, consecrate the solemn, this feast season, this Moed, God's appointed time. Use it to mobilize people to come before the throne of God, the courtroom of the Lord. It's really the courtroom of the Lord. And present your appeal against the accusation of the enemy against this nation, against the church, against individual lives, against your calling. And then use the blood of Jesus as an atoning power. And then use the blood as a way to respond for justice, to cry for God again to show justice, because Jesus has already paid the price. And as we repent, we turn everything by the blood. And we receive forgiveness and Satan's accusation is nullified. On that platform of repentance, now we can pray for deliverance for the church, deliverance for our family, salvation, deliverance. And then we start saying, God, restore favor back into our life. And now, God, bring breakthrough that we're believing you for that we've not seen. And God, manifest our destiny so that we can serve your purposes in this nation in that level of authority. So, and then we pray for Israel, because somehow this is a cycle closing. There's a reason why the president of America has already declared Jerusalem to be officially and practically established at the capital of the nation. So something is in the air. So as we pray for Israel, we'll be speaking prophetically into the destiny of Israel at the 70th year. So who knows what God has in mind? But during this time of prayer, we're believing for God to speak to us, believing for God to open heaven, believing for God to give directions. But one thing for sure, everyone that comes into the season with this kind of expectation and knowing that it's an appointment, a special time, you and the Lord, the Lord's feast, you will definitely experience an encounter, a visitation, because it's a Kairos moment. So that's the plan. But the strategy is what for the prayer points is what God started showing me, because every other feast, we've entered into it like this before. But what is different about this time? It's not only the 70th year of Israel, but also the prayer strategy that I never understood about using the blood in a way I've never understood, and using repentance in a way I've never understood to nullify accusation, and using the blood as a platform to restore that which has been taken away. So we're going to go through this together. On the first day, I will lay the foundation with Daniel chapter 9, and we pray into it. We're going to take communion as a covenant we have with Jesus and with the Lord. And we're going to ask God to remember his covenant over our lives. That first day after sharing, we start to pray. We take communion online. You get communion in your room. Well, we have communion. We take communion to enter. Just what we're about to do is similar to what Moses did with the blood of bulls and goats when they were coming out of Egypt. But this time, we want to use the blood to confront the gates of hell, the gates of the witchcraft, everything that has been accusing the church, accusing. We want to use the blood to confront the accusation after repentance. So we're going to do it personally. I'm going to lay my life on the altar and say, God, reprogram my life. Cause me to unlearn things that I've learned that are not of you. God, purge me. God, set me free from myself. God, you are the potter. Break me and just let me come on the other side of this feast with a new wine skin, so that I can drink of your fresh wine and your fresh move of your spirit, so that my spirit is ready and flexible to flow with your spirit more than yesterday. So that's our heart cry, that each one of us will thoroughly look at themselves and really repent, you know. So the focus will be personal. You do the same thing for your family, you do it for your church, your city, nation, and Israel. So these are the things we're going to be doing. We're going to have prayer worship leaders that will lead worship every night, you know, and they will lead worship every night, and then a prayer leader will come, and the prayer leader will focus prayer points on repentance, deliverance, favor, breakthrough, and destiny. And everybody on the line will join with these prayers. And also, on your own personal, outside of the corporate prayer time, take advantage of these 21 days and really lock in with the Lord. The best way I can tell you how the mindset I'm going into this season with is this. I'm going to go in like Jacob when he met the angel, telling the angel, I will not let you go until you bless me. And there was a shift in his life from Jacob to Israel. That's the mindset. I'm going into it with a mindset like Hannah. Hannah has been barren for a long time, but when we went to this feast this time around, and with a different mindset, Hannah left with a major breakthrough. So I want to encourage you to enter this with a mindset you will not come out of this without a breakthrough. So, and God will honor that level of obedience. So that's what we're planning for. So beginning from Monday, this coming Monday, it will be online, the Willing Women line, this very line you are on, from 6 to 7 every day for the next 21 days until the last day. The first day to the 10th day will be fasting from 6 to 6. But from after Yom Kippur, there's no more fasting. We enter into worship, praise, and prayer. And this time we're asking for other things, breakthroughs and stuff that we're going to be experiencing. And there, I believe God is going to be giving us prophetic words, prophetic impartation, and things are going to be happening on this line as we move into this season. As we progress into this season, we'll see what the Lord will say to us. So just be ready and be open. So that's why I laid that foundation. Hopefully, we'll be able to share more on this repentance strategy and also using the blood as a platform for restoration and breakthrough in this season of the feast in this appointed time of the Lord. So thank you so much for being on the line. Hopefully this is clear enough, but Keziah has this information to share with you. We also have this information on the newsletter we just sent out. And we invite your family, invite those you know that have been believing God for a breakthrough, for generational breakthrough in their life, people that think they have a generational problem in their family line. Whatever you're seeking God for, this is a window for us to corporately believe God for divine intervention by the grace of God. I wish I have time to answer questions, but I hope this answers anything. Any question you have, please feel free to call Keziah, and she will be able to respond to that. Thank you all so much. Look forward for us to begin this together on Monday. God bless you.